bring great ingredients to each one this morning. Thankful today that he is risen and he is alive forevermore. I'd been looking forward to hearing the young people sing this morning. And usually they come by and always sing, and I wake up and to this beautiful sound. Got up this morning, my wife said, "Did you hear the young people sing?" I didn't hear them sing. I must have slept right through it. I've been up about 4 o'clock, and I think they got there about 6 o'clock, she said. And I was aiming to get up at 6 o'clock, and I didn't wake up till 7:30. So I must have been really asleep. But it always lifted my heart in the morning to hear the young people sing the songs. And especially as we look around us and see the things of spring and life, it is an encouragement. Snow is pretty, but it's nice to say goodbye to it for a while. Enjoy the robins and the things that show life and resurrection. I'd like to look over into Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. I'd like to start reading with the first verse there. And maybe before we start, let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we come to Thee this morning, we thank Thee for Jesus. We thank Thee, Lord, that He was willing to bleed and to die and go through all the awful things that He went through that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We thank Thee, dear Father, that it is for each one of us today and that none of us were left out, but whosoever will may come and we can partake of the bread of life, of the water of life freely, and that we can be one of the children of God. We pray that Thou will just have Thy way with us in this service. Speak to our hearts and use us, Lord, that we might be able to be useful vessels in Thy hands. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to think about this morning, as we read this scripture, Jesus gave us the example. He went through the garden. He went to the cross. And there was death before there was life. A lot of people would like to have life without realizing that they are dead in their trespasses and sins. But this scripture starts off on a positive note. And then it looks back at what God has done for us, and I like that. In Ephesians 2, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Notice that's past tense. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the spirit of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And I want to just insert a verse or two from Matthew just to have us remember this as we read the scripture in Matthew, the 11th chapter. It's one that we've heard many times, but I'm so thankful for the call of the Lord. When we find ourselves in this awful place, we found ourselves in the past, hopefully for each one of us, that these things were in the past. This is the way we walked. This is the way we did. This is the way we treated people. this is the way we connived. This is the way we pulled things that were slick deals. This is the way, and if you don't have to wait till you're 15 or 20 or 25, but from the time that each one of us was just little fellows, maybe 4 or 5 years old, we get our eye on something that wasn't ours, but maybe we thought we'd like to have it, and so that Adamic nature, that thing that's passed on to every one of us, is what caused us to, way back there, when we were just little ones, slip around. And I remember one of my sister was just a year younger than me. All of a sudden, she couldn't find her paper dolls. And my younger sister, which is 9 years younger, she had found these paper dolls in a drawer, and she slipped them out, and she wanted to play with these paper dolls. It's that nature that takes us down, down, down. But the wonderful words of Jesus back in Matthew, the 11th chapter, says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The one that is tired of slipping around, the one that is tired of pulling shady deals, the one that is tired of saying things that weren't true, they're tired of that. They're sick of sin. And now he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." These are the words of Jesus. These are the words of the one that the grave could not hold him. These are the ones that broke the power, the one that broke the power of sin and death, and is here to give us victory, each one of us, every day. It's not just a one-time past experience, which is there has to be life begun, but then life has to be maintained, and our garden has to be kept clean, and the little weeds that would spring up, or those little things, the little roots of bitterness that would like to creep in, have to be nipped out and kept out so that we can have a communion with God and fellowship to be with Him. And this is a wonderful scripture here that tells us that if we're heavy laden, if we're burdened with things that are bothering us, that we can have rest from that. When we come to the place that we surrender, just give it all to the Lord. I'm done with sin. I'm done with that nonsense. I'm done with all that. I want it behind me. I don't want any more to do with it. I want to go all the way with the Lord. Don't want to try to take shortcuts and cut corners with God. But I want to be a real Christian and one that is alive to Him. He says, "But God," in Ephesians 2:4, "but God, who is rich in mercy, and for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." And when it says He has quickened us, it means that He has made us alive. He's made us alive. He's given us life. He's given us something worth living for. He's given us something worth even dying for, like the martyrs, many of them did. And even today, we can die to the angry insults of people, what they might say about us, or what they might tell us, or their scowl or their lifted lip as they make fun of the Christians. And we can live for Him and grieve not the Holy Spirit and do our very best to please God and have that still small voice speaking to us within the depths of our heart. Yesterday, we took a little ride, and preachers get illustrations from all kinds of things. And I told my wife, I said, "Well, that's a good something to think about." Anyway, we took a little ride, went down to Ava, and we stopped at Sonic and got us something to eat. So we were all well and satisfied, and then started driving out. My wife was wanting to look at the red buds and things that are coming out in the woods. And, this is a sign of life. It's good to see life. It's good to see people who have been quickened, who have been made alive in the Lord, that are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and the old things have passed away, and they're real. And so we drove over there, and I said, well, let's just... She was wondering if we could get over to K Highway from where we were at A. And I thought, well, maybe if we go up B, I'm just wondering if we would... There's a road goes down behind that Brush Harbor Church, and I wonder if that wouldn't take us over to K. Some of you can follow what I'm saying. So that's what we did. We drove up around, went up bypassed Mount Zion and on up to Brush Harbor, turned there and started off down that road. And if you have never been back through there, you ought to go back there sometime. We drove down and around. And, you know, all of a sudden, and I'm not going to say the name of these little flowers because I'll probably say it wrong, but there were little yellow flowers on each side of the road. My wife said, well, somebody has planted those. I thought, well, you can't just throw seeds out or do something. No, you had to put each one of them in. Of course, they spread, I think. But there were little yellow flowers all along the road, and I snapped a picture or two. Down around, and little yellow flowers just all on the signs of life. And yet some of them had been nipped a little bit by, I think, our frost, or maybe we're just about over the top. And so their heads were hanging down a little bit low. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see a Christian who has a bright, sunshiny smile, and their head is up, and they have something to be happy about. There's life that's flowing up through the stem, and on up and out into a beautiful flower, and if you could get close to it, you'd smell a beautiful smell, an aroma. Somebody said, you've heard me say this before probably, but that what happens to you when somebody bumps you? What happens to you when they accidentally step on your toe and it hurts? Do you let out a yowl? Do you do like one of my uncles did? Somebody ran over his toe with a portable welder, and he had a hammer in his hand, and he threw the hammer across the shop, and I don't know if it broke a window. I can't remember just what all happened, but they found out what was down inside there. But the old preacher, they called him Uncle Buddy Robinson, said, when they bump up against me, I want them just to get a little honey on them. I want them, as they bump up against me, just to get something sweet from it. Not a flaring temper, not something like the other, but something that shows the love of Jesus within our hearts, shining out the life that came from the resurrection, the great resurrection. It was not for no purpose at all, but it was for that we might be quickened. Well, make my little story just hopefully a little shorter. As we drove down that road and the flowers along, all of a sudden we started dropping off and down, down, down. And I said, I believe we're going to go down to the water. And on down ahead, it looked like a little old water crossing. Something my daddy and I built around Webster County for a number of years for the county. And sure enough, there was a low water crossing. And we got on down towards it. But all it was a place where the water had been. Just washed out. Looked like lots of water, lots of flood at some time. Just as dry as a bone. And I said, you know what? That's sort of like some people's Christian experiences. They had their had-beens. There was water. There was floods at one time, but there's no water there. It's dry. Dry as can be. So we started on down the road a little further. You're going to have to take this road one of these days and check this out. And down we went, and it started getting on down deeper. And you know, the Christian life draws its strength from the depth of God's presence, and getting down to where the living water is. And we dropped on off, and I said, I wonder if there won't be water down there. Sure enough, here's another little low water crossing, and a beautiful stream coming across it. And I just sort of drove out in the middle of it and sat there. And I said, do you see any pollywogs over there? I said, I see some over here. You'd call them minnows. We call them pollywogs. But anyway, we just sat there and watched that beautiful clear water run over the little water crossing and drop off down below. It was a pretty wide stream. Lots of water. Lots of cool spring water. It was good. And I like to see a Christian life that's just overflowing with the presence of God. That living water that is sweeping the dross and sweeping the other things out of the way and making a place. It's alive. It's not just a form, a dead, dry something with nothing in it. But it has the presence of God there. And the water, the cool, refreshing, you can take a drink of it. And it satisfies you. It's something that satisfies. And the scripture that we have here says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you know, this is one of the heavenly places that God has given us to sit together in. Right here as we come together to worship the Lord. You know, we could be sitting at home in the reclining chair, eating popcorn and doing this and doing that, and waiting for the dinner to get ready. But we'd miss out on the fresh, cold water of the Word. We'd miss out on what God has for it this morning. The fellowship together of the saints and being able to sit here and partake of the good things of God. We'd miss out on all those things. We could feed ourselves until we're so full we couldn't eat anymore. Good food, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the most important thing is a spiritual food. I never forgot. I went to school at Rogersville and graduated there from high school. And our vocational agriculture teacher was an old-time teacher. He taught vocational agriculture, and I enjoyed it very much. One day he walked up to the board, and he began to write. He said, I'm going to write this up here, and if they fire me, they just have to fire me because I'm going to do it anyway. And he was talking about agriculture as being something that is a job that there is always a place to sell it because people are hungry. They want food. But he said, the most important thing, and I never forgot this one thing that he said, and he wrote, soul food. He said, that's the most important thing. And he said, then earthly food or physical food, he put it next. And he said, that's where we're working with agriculture, and we're talking about feeding people. But the most important thing, he said, to all of those boys, and many of them probably had no spiritual background at all, is soul or spiritual food. And you know, today, the most important thing still in every one of our lives is a spiritual food. Keeping the flame alive, keeping the way open, keeping the dross out of our lives. And if there's things that have temptations that have come and we've slipped or we've had trouble here, don't stop, don't back up, don't give up, don't throw yourself down. But go right back there and say, Lord, I realize that's what I'm sorry. I've stumbled here. I've fallen here. Admit it. Don't try to cover it up. And God's presence can keep you on the narrow way and help you to learn from your mistakes, that you don't make that mistake again. But we've got to keep the little things out of our lives. We've got to be conscientious about what the Holy Spirit lays his finger on if all of a sudden it seems like something's wrong. I'm not being able to reach out to the Lord in prayer like I should. Something, and the Lord will quickly bring things. If there's things that have cluttered your spiritual life, they're in the way, he'll show you. And if you quickly obey him, then that darkness will be gone. That heaviness will be gone. And you can have the light of God's presence, and not just a dead old dry stream, this is a form that used to hold water, but you can have the water of life flowing through your life, flowing through your very being, and quenching the thirst that it's the only thing that can quench our thirst, our spiritual thirst. Many times I've gone to the drinking fountain and got a drink of that cold, cold water. And we have some up here this morning. I'm going to leave that for Brother Joe. I'm not going to touch that. But I sat back there sometimes and seen them take a drink and thought, I wish I could have a drink right now. But you know, we get thirsty, don't we? We need something to quench that thirst. And the song says, all my life long I had, how does that go? Long for a draught from some cool spring that would quench the thirst I felt within. And then it says, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has, how does that go? In other words, had longed. The cooling water, the presence of God, as we kneel humbly down in prayer. We're not trying to impress anybody with our long prayers or big words or anything like that, but we're coming humbly before the throne of grace, saying, Lord, here I am, a needy person. I need your help. I need your strength. And right now, I need that communion, the fellowship, where you can sense him dealing with you and talking with you and showing you the way. And it's so wonderful that he has quickened us who at one time were dead in our trespasses and sins. We lived after the things of the world. He says here, among whom also you all had your conversation in times past in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You were having pleasure in sin. There's too many people today still having pleasures in sin, that they don't want to give up the sin business. They want to hold on to some things that they're enjoying in sin. But it's only for a season. And I believe it was Moses there. He looked there at all that Pharaoh had and all the things that he offered, and being one of the leaders of the Lamb. But those were just for a season. And he made a choice, and every one of us is going to make a choice. The preacher can't make a choice for you. Your parents can't make a choice for you. Your brothers or sisters can't make a choice for you. You've got to make your choice yourself. Will you go with God? Will you take his word and believe it and follow it? Or will you choose to just follow the dictates of the flesh? What the flesh craves after, what the flesh would like to do. Which will you do? Today is a day of decision for each one of us. Every day is. And the choice comes up. Will we choose the way of the world that looks like a fantasy, a mirage, a dead, dry stream with nothing in it? Or will we choose the refreshing, cold springs of living water that satisfy the soul? That we can remember if there's going to be life, if there's going to be a quickening, if we're going to arise in life, there has to be a death to sin, a death to the pleasures of sin, to where that sin is no pleasure anymore, where that we hate sin with all of our heart, and we realize where it is taking us and where it's going to take us, and we're done with it, and we turn clear around and yield ourselves entirely to the Lord. And then God intervenes. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And that's by his unmerited favor. We don't deserve him saving us. We don't deserve him coming down to the world and going through what Lyle mentioned this morning. He didn't have to do that. He could have slain every one of those wicked men in a moment of time, but he yielded himself because he wanted us to be taken off of that awful death row where we're doomed to die and be lost, because he knows that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And every one of us were on death row. But Jesus took our place. And he arose and he is alive forevermore. Let's kneel in prayer.